Kof Zion Tammuz, Tuesday the 17th of July, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Determined Journeys.
It's always wonderful to be able to start the day in this very special way, especially because it's such a day full of extraordinary sunshine. Somebody told me recently that the translation of the word mabul, of course, is a flood, except in England where the translation of the word mabul is the summer. So it's lovely to be in this warm and special environment. Now, during these 3 weeks of focus and attention of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we're also looking for methods to try and fix up some of those things which have been destroyed, much of that which has been destroyed. There's a very interesting halacha. In my line of business, I get asked the most basic questions. And one of the questions I was asked recently is why it is at the end of the Amidah, the sign of prayer, we take 3 steps back. Gimel Pasius. And the Mishnah Berurah, speaking about that, incidentally, I once heard from Lord Jacobovitz, because if you were, before you say, Yosef Shon Bim Romov, if anybody is in confrontation, before you start a fight, the best thing is to learn to take a few steps back. But the Mishnah Berurah gives an interesting idea. The Mishnah Berurah tells us the following. Why is it that you take 3 steps back? I'm a base Yosef. Kama ta'amim. V'od kosh v'tam, and he also gives a reason, Mishum da'om ha'chazal, de'beschus gimel pasiyas, shiratz Nebuchadnezzar, lichvot Hashem Yisparach, because of the steps that Nebuchadnezzar, Rosha, took in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, zocha l'harchiv Beis HaMikdash. He had the schus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'lechein ono pesim gimel pasiyas mispalem shibona Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, when we take our 3 steps back, after Yisrael Shon, we say Shibana Beis HaMikdash. Why? Well, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells the story of Chizkiah HaMelech was very unwell at the time, and letters were written from the Melech Bovel to Rishim Rafur Shleimer to give him a brocha. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar was his personal scribe of the Melech Bovel, and he was the scribe, and he wasn't there when the letter was written. And the Gemara tells us that Nebuchadnezzar asked, what was written in this letter? And he was told a whole amount of praise about Chizkiah HaMelech, and at the end of the note it mentioned how wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as well. And the Gemara tells us that Nebuchadnezzar says, that's wrong, you've got the Seder wrong. You should have mentioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu earlier in the Seder. And therefore he ran to catch the person who was running, the shliach who was running with the letter. He just ran a few steps, covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should have been written early in the letter. And because of that, he was given the schus of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, Klal Yisrael Averis brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But what would give the merit to an individual that he should destroy the Beis Hashem? He ran a few steps. He moved in a little direction for Kovod Hashem. And therefore, when we finish Shmoneh Esrei, we have to move a few steps. We have to be mesaken. We have to fix the chait. And we have to move back a few steps, because the koach and the power of Nebuchadnezzar Rosha, just running a few steps, needs to be corrected by us moving back a few steps. Shibonu Beis HaMikdash b'mheirav yomeinu. That's an extraordinary idea. There's a tikkun. There's a number of aspects of our lives that need fixing up. It's a fascinating idea when it comes to Paraduma. We learn out from the Gemara in Kedushin, Lamed Aleph, Amad Aleph, the famous story of Doma ben Messina, the non-Jew who was working in Hatton Garden at the time. Well, he was in the jewelry business. He had a very successful family, had a good jewelry business. And when the Kohanim were looking for a particular stone that had been lost to the Ephod, they searched all over, and finally they found that he had in his storehouse, his father's storehouse. And of course, we all know the famous story that he refused to wake up his father. The Gemara tells us he refused to wake up his father, even though he was offered millions, thousands and thousands, millions. He refused to wake up his father. And as a result of that, the following year, he was rewarded with a paraduma. Ask the Chiddush Harim, paraduma, what's the connection? He did a tremendous act of wonderful kindness. He wouldn't wake up his father. But why a paraduma? So he says the Chiddush Harim, because in Shemayim, when that individual was willing to give up so much in order to show kovod for his father, there's a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Look what the non-Jews are willing to do to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. He's willing to forgo millions. Would Klal Yisrael in a similar situation be willing to do that? Would we try and find a little kula, little kunz? Yeah, but maybe I can do it this way. I'll move the pillow kalachiyad and I'll get... I'm sure, would we not have found a little way? Rabbi Yossi the Meiko. Rabbi Yossi the Meiko. Every time there was a few different options of how that locha was, Rabbi Yossi would always take... he was always a maker. He was always looking for kulas. Kulas here, kulas there. I find a kunz, a way out of it, whatever it is. Always a kula. And eventually, 120, Yossi the Meiko finds himself in Gan Eden. He was basically a good guy, but he was unfortunately a maker in his life. He finds himself in Gan Eden, and the Malachim showing him around Gan Eden. And he says, let me show you to your room. Takes him to his room. The door creaks open. He looks inside, and there's this dark, dank room, and a very low bed with a very thin mattress and a threadbare blanket and this little candle in the corner. And Yosef the Meikle turns to the Malach and he says, this is Gan Eden? And the Malach said, yeah, well, according to one shitter, yeah, this... And the question is, in our lives, are we looking for colours? There's a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael, a terrible kitrug on Klal Yisrael. Look what a guy is willing to do. He's willing to give up millions in order to fill his commandment, as if to say. So the Rebbe said an extraordinary idea. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send a gift to him that the only way that Klal Yisrael can get it is to pay millions for the Paraduma. Millions! Because if that's how far he has to go, how far are we willing to go to meet Masakin, that frightening Kerch, which is in Shemaim? And you know, if you look through Chazal, you'll see very, very often this concept of an energy which is created, and a power which is created, which needs a response from Klal Yisrael. Just a few examples. Vayokom Bilam Baboike. The Bilam, when he came to Klal Yisrael, he had this extraordinary zrizus, this unbelievable excitement. He got up early in the morning, and he himself saddled his own ass. And of course, we know his own donkey. And of course, we know Rashi points out, in pointing out that Baruch Hashem, Mikan Shatzinu Mekalkeles HaShura, that normally you would have a process. There would be a chain of command. Bilam would tell this one and this one and this one. They all get together and prepare his... But when it comes to sin, it doesn't work like this. When it comes to sin, it doesn't work like this. He hated Klal Yisrael with such a venom, with such a hatred. He was desperate to go and do what he could to curse Klal Yisrael that he forgets about all etiquette. He forgets about all rules and regulations. He runs to come and curse Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rasha! You're a Rasha! Because Kfar Kidmcha Avram Avinu already beat you to it. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to Har Moriah with Yitzhak Avinu, he also got up earlier, Vayashkem Avram, but he beat you to it, the same midah that Koach would have been able to have a frightening effect on Klal Yisrael. But that same midah, Avram Avinu had been massacred with that same midah. It's very interesting because you see a similar idea just a few psukim later. When the donkey opened up his mouth, he said to Masisachol, what have I done to you? He sent his Shalosh Pomim Rogolim, that you've hit me these three times. What have I done to you? You've hit me these three times. The Chazal says, what you think that a people who are one day going to go three times to Yerushalayim, you think you can get them? Because that midah of walking and going and directing yourself with a brand and with an excitement, with a commitment... that Shalosh Ro Golem, you're not going to be able to fight the Klal Yisrael that's already got that tikkun, which already got that koach to counteract what it is you're trying to send to them. And there are many, many examples of this. There's a koach, there's a power. If we can harness it, then we can counteract the power and the fights which are against Klal Yisrael. And Cholila V'chas, when they have that koach, we have to take the three steps back and we have to realize that I have to start moving in a direction to correct that which Nebuchadnezzar Russia was willing to do against Klal Yisrael. So a very fascinating idea that you actually see brought down in the story of Hanukkah. extraordinary story of Hanukkah, that the Kohanim, whose life it is to work in the Beis HaMikdash, to look after all aspects of Kedusha, they were forced suddenly to become soldiers. I remember reminding myself of an extraordinary story about Reb Chaim Stein, tells the Rosh Yeshiva Nifta not long ago. When he was a young man escaping the horrors of Eastern Europe, the whole debate on which way to go, which way to turn to, and he and a small group decided to go deep into Russia, in their hope of escaping the torment and escaping the Nazi menace. The story goes, on the journey, on that long, long, long journey into Russia, they realized, of course, it's Hanukkah. L'hadlik ner shel Hanukkah, we want a light. Tremendous nes. Each year we were able to do it, and this year, why should it be any different? The problem is, when you're on a train in the middle of nowhere, where are you going to find lights? Where are you going to find oil? Where are you going to be able to light? And the story goes, at a particular stop, a few of the young boys got off the train, and they went down to the wheels of the train, and they took off the grease and the oil, which is around the wheels of the train, collected it bit by bit by bit into small containers, brought them back into the train, and with some threads from their clothes or whatever, they were able to light a Hanukkah light. And it they managed to keep Hanukkah on that train for 5 days. At the end of the fifth day, they ran out of oil, and it was pouring with rain. And there was no oil left, and there was no way they could get more grease. So what were they to do? So Chaim Stein says the following interesting halacha, which is well known. Chazal tell us that when you're unable to fulfill a mitzvah, but you learn about that mitzvah, and you really learn about that mitzvah, then on one level you get as if you've done that mitzvah. So he said, well, learn Hilchos Chanukah. Just like, well, unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we learn Kodshim, we try and understand what the life in the Beis HaMikdash was. The source of us learning, but really learning, what each one of the Korbanos is and how they work, should be as if we are bringing those Korbanos, and I'm sure you'll see in your tefillah when we don't, this is often spoken about. So Reb Chaim Stein, I can't light Chanukah lecht, but what I can do is I'll learn Hilchos Chanukah. And so, together with the young boys, the young men on the train, they started learning. Unfortunately, it was a long and difficult and tiring journey, and not all the young men were able to continue with the same brand and the same commitment. Reb Chaim Stein said, this is going to be my Chanukah lecht. And I'll learn, but I'll learn it. And fighting against sleep, all the time that this Chanukah lecht would be lighting, he's going to stay awake. The train stopped at a station. And in those days, it wasn't unusual that tradesmen, when there was a train stopping at the station, would jump onto the train for the moments it's there, and they walk down the carriageway selling their wares. And as the story goes, this particular tradesman was selling candles. And Reb Chaim Stein, turning over the story in front of a group of people, said, Efshah, that was Eliyahu HaNavi. And Mordechai Gifter, sitting next to him, apparently says, not Efshah, it's Avada. When we commit ourselves and we dedicate ourselves with a brand, with a commitment to be masaking things which we're unable to do normally, to correct the fact, unfortunately, I don't have a Hanukkah candles, but how am I going to respond to that situation? You get an extraordinary siyata d'shmai. So the Kohanim find themselves, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yevonim are rampaging through. And they suddenly find themselves, this great, special shevet of Klal Yisrael, find themselves having to become soldiers. I believe it was the Bach who says, why? And he said, because they were nisrashel min avoda. They had the Beis HaMikdash, but unfortunately they became too complacent. They became a little too lazy in their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They become used to doing everything that I've done for so long, so I'll just carry on doing it today because I did it yesterday. And that complacency leads to us losing that glorious opportunity of the avodah. So how do they get it back? They have to be masakin, that complacency. They're the ones who are going to have to fight and give everything, 100%. In order to get back that avoda that they'd lost because of their own complacency. There's a middah, there's a kayach in the world. If we get there first, and we use that middah, and we build upon that middah, we can achieve extraordinary things. But a cholila v'chas, that minna gets into the hands of others. Those three steps gave Nebuchadnezzar the schus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You know, one of the great opportunities I have in my line of business is I travel a lot, Baruch Hashem, to teach, to go to simchas. And I always take advantage of the fact that if I'm sitting next to somebody on a journey, there's got to be a reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed me next to this person. And over the years, I've had many, many interesting journey stories. That'll be for my next album called Journeys. But in the meanwhile, I'll tell you one particular story. I was on a plane recently, coming back from Eretz Yisrael, sitting next to a young man. And we were learning together. And he says to me, you know, can I tell you what happened to me as to why it is I'm ashamed of Shabbos today? I said, why? He said, I was brought up in a conservative, a non-religious background. Far distant from anything religious. He said, when it comes to my bar mitzvah, and I felt the concept in the school, the Solomon Shechter school that I was in, they said, well, if you want to wear your tefillin, you can wear your tefillin. If you don't want, it's up to you. I thought to myself, there's got to be more to it than just, it's up to you. I started investigating, searching. My father was actually a chazan in our local conservative shul. But there was something missing. So I plucked up the courage, and I confronted my parents. And they said, after much debate, okay, you can go to the local yeshiva day school, and we'll go and speak to the principal. The principal and the Rosh Yeshiva were there. Rosh Yeshiva was a Rabbi Teitelbaum. And the principal, when he saw the boy's report card, said to him as follows, here's the deal. You haven't done very well in your previous school. If you start improving, and also your behavior really isn't what it's supposed to, if you become a better young man, the next year, I'd be willing to accept you. And Rabbi Teitelbaum, the Rosh Yeshiva, says, no way. This boy wants to come. He has that earnest desire that he really wants to come now, regardless of report cards, now. And therefore, this young boy joined the school. 3 months later, the Rosh Yeshiva was nifter with a terribly big heart attack. Killed him straight away. And the young man said to me, he said, ah, what do I do next? He said to me, that man had faith in me. He believed in me and he gave me the opportunity now. So I have to take on something now to show that I committed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be Shomer Shabbos for the rest of my life. But the person had the commitment, they had the dedication. Look at the power that it's able to create and the impact it's able to have in another person's life. Friends, there's another extension to this which takes us even a step further. Again, in Parshas Balak, there's a famous question that when Bilam was asked to curse Klal Yisrael, first of all, Vayomer Bilam el Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked by Bilam and told by Bilam and given, Balak told Bilam and then Bilam spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he got a response as to what it is that you have to do. Vayomer Elokim el Bilam, lo say lechem ohem, don't go under any circumstances. A few psukim later, Bilam goes back to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yover Elokim el Bilam Laila, they interacted. He says, who are these men with you? What's going on? So he says to him, Kum lech itom. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're allowed to go with them. The only thing is, you have to do what I'm saying. And the famous question is asked, a few psukim earlier, Bilam was told he can't go. And now he's told, you can go. The only thing is, you have to follow my rules. So there's Rashi and there are many, many understandings of exactly what happened. Why it is that there was this dramatic change. You can't go, but now you can go. So Shimon Schwab has an extraordinary insight, which I highly recommend you see in his extraordinary Sefer Ma'an Yashar. He says as follows. I'll tell you what changed. The first time Bilam came with the desire to curse Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Oy v'voy lihiz lishma. He wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. What happened in the interim? Bilam says, if you give me all the money in the world, I won't be able to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. But I quite like to have all the money in the world. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want, you can go, but just follow everything that I'm saying. What changed the Rav Shimon? What changed is, he changed from a lishmonik to a low lishmonik. He started off as an individual who wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Oy v'voyli if he's lishmonik, but now you're talking about money, things have changed. And Shimon Schwab uses this to give us a fascinating insight of how we counteract that negative power. Because it's not just enough for us to correct the behavior. There has to be an attitudinal change within us as well. And Schwab says, when somebody believes wholeheartedly in something, when they're totally committed to something, yid or goy, it has in itself an unbelievable koyach. And he told the story about when he was a young man. He remembered the rise of communism. Power! And how it swept through Yiddish homes and how it affected 1 billion people in different parts of the world were communists. Bright, intelligent individuals followed that power and a belief that tomorrow is going to be a new world and a better world. And they gave their life for it. He said, what changed? I'll tell you what changed. After a while, the communists who took over and attacked the bourgeoisie and those wealthy people living in palaces, they started moving into the palaces. And the head of the Politburo was taking the nicest home that he possibly can. And after a while, he was taking $5 or $10 million, dollars, rubles, and putting into his Swiss bank accounts, just like the people who he'd attacked for doing that terrible, distasteful behavior earlier. So Shimon Schwab, when that starts happening, eventually it's going to crumble. It's eventually going to be destroyed. But if somebody believes wholeheartedly, if they're mamish lishma, it has an unbelievable and frightening power to it. I have a friend of mine who's very active in the political world. And he said to me something frightening. He said, if you see what happened during the Arab Spring, and you watch the drama of how many of the Arab nations were toppled by the masses, by the populace, there's one particular scene that he has in his mind. And that scene is of a march in Egypt, a rioting group of demonstrators rioting against Mubarak in Egypt. And you have this image of tens of thousands of people going towards a particular area to show what they think of Mubarak and his principles. And all of a sudden, there's this call for prayer. And you watch tens of thousands of people marching. Suddenly, they have from the mosque this call for prayer. They stop, and they have their whatever tefillah it is at that time. As soon as the tefillah is over, with their excitement and intensity, they go on their riot. He says, that's really, really frightening. And he told me that when Arafat was in power, they knew that they could bribe him with money. And he made off with vast amounts of money. The greatest fear is when the people we're fighting with are lishma. And they really, 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 really believe in what they're doing. Then it becomes absolutely petrifying. Because if somebody believes in what they're doing with such totality, they can cause extraordinary havoc. So what's the counterbalance? How do we fight against this? Three steps back of Nebuchadnezzar gives him that extraordinary power. What power is in our hands? The young man I was sitting to on the plane told me that he was involved in the Chevra Kedisha. Chevra Kedisha among Chesed Shalemes. Zayin Adar, in the particular area that he was living in Eretz Yisrael, he together with other people in the area would get together to learn about Inyone of Chevra Kedisha, Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site, special tefillahs. The next morning he said he had to go to Yerushalayim. Went to Yerushalayim to meet a relative to bring them back to the area that he was staying in. On the way back on the journey, 20 minutes from their destination, the bus stops, starts again, and then speeds off and then stops again. And the bus driver calls out to everybody, are there any soldiers on board? I've just stopped what I believe is a suicide bomber. Any soldiers on board? They jumped off and they made chase for this individual. Before they got to him, the explosive belt that he was wearing exploded and he killed himself. So Sri gets back onto the bus on Zayin Adar, Chevra Kedusha, Yid, and he thinks to himself, what a nace. I mean, instead of looking after others, I could have been looked after on a day like this. Instead of burying others and talking about burying others, it could have been me. He says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How can I possibly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nace of being alive? He said to me the following. He says, I was so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I was alive, I decided that when I was going to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was going to be alive. What did he mean by that? He said, I daven three times a day. But do I say, Tata Tata HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do I talk to the Eibishter? Am I alive when I'm doing my mitzvahs? He's chosen me to be alive now, but am I alive as a yid? I'm davening a Shemana Esrei because I davened the previous Shemana Esrei. I'm putting on my tefillin today because I put them on yesterday. That's not what you're supposed to be. He said that I committed myself in the schus of being alive to become alive as a yid. And with that life and with that bren to commit myself to be a better yid, particularly when I'm doing mitzvahs and particularly when I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Told me to say, got hold of Rabbi Pinchas' book on Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, a beautiful book Rabbi Pinchas has on Shabbos. He says since he's been learning that book, his Shabbos is an entirely different Shabbos. Beautiful Shabbos. And his whole attitudes are changed. He's not going through the motions of the chulun, the kigel, the chulun, the chicken, whatever, and the shlopa. There's so many Shabbos Kodesh. He's on Shabbos Kodesh. Yes. He's alive and he wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was involved in Chesed Shalemis. And he decided now, but when he's going to be a yid, he has to put more emes into the chesed between him and his fellow yid and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a very interesting Gemara in Kedushin, which talks about why it is when a husband marries a wife, he gives her kesev kedushin, and how it is through giving kesev kedushin that it's possible that a person can marry another person. And the famous Gemara of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. How long this? How we learn out from Avram Avinu, Koine Kicha. Avram Avinu acquired a field, but that's how a husband marries a wife. It sounds very nice but in Londres, but you try explaining that under the chuppah. The reason the man's about to give you this ring is because when Avram Avinu bought a burial place for Sarah Menu, he paid with it with money. It doesn't have that sort of excitement about it. No jokes, please. So I saw once a beautiful tait, which was that... You know what? What Avram Avinu did and what he taught us for all eternity is that he buried Sari Amenu. Mamas Chesed Shalemis. Why is it Chesed Shalemis? I'm not expecting anything back. I'm just doing it for you because it's the right thing to do and you can't give me anything back. You know what the limit for Chosen under the Chuppah is? Has to learn that in marriage you have to start doing Chesed Shalemis to the living. Did all the chesed, why is it we all have a chesh bonus? I'll do this, I'll do that. All these lowly shmos are creeping into everything in our mind when we're doing a mitzvah. Because the mechish, they're looking after our wives. He said, learn in your life to have chesed shalemis in all that you do. Mamish chesed shalemis. And the Chofetz Chaim, in his introduction to Sefer Avos Chesed, brings the following posuk from Mishle. Perek Tezayim posuk Vov. Bechesed ve'emes Yichapa oven. Through chesed and emes, a person's averas are forgiven. Says the Malbim, let me quote you. What does it mean by chesed emes? La'asois gemidas chasadim ben odin chavera shelo tashlum gemul shezeh chosr shel emes. Because when you're always trying to get something out of it, that's not emes. And the posuk says, bechesed ve'emes. That's how you, the chesed should have an emes to it. And if it's true, ben odin l'chaver, it's also true, ben odin l'mokah. There has to be that commitment and that total dedication. Nebuchadnezzar, HaRosha, got the schus to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because of his few steps to Kovan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way we can get the kippur, the mechapa for such a thing, is by moving forward in the way that we dedicate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are three unbelievable weeks and opportunities to be mesaken. All of those averas which brought about our destruction. The power and the koyach of doing something lishma has the ability to build extraordinary things and extraordinary people. Chalila b'chas, the power and the koyach of our enemies who do things lishma has the ability to destroy. Let's use these 3 weeks to build. Let's use these 3 weeks v'yashkem avrom b'voikah. Yes, Hashem, the source of that, we should see Shibana based on Mikdash Mahavi.